Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and a warm welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. I hope we find you well. This is the one-stop shop for all of your betting advice. And to guide us through another busy week of football, I welcome Dan Childs and Jack Ogilvy from the Racing Post Sport Desk. And Carl Monaghan joins us from our sponsors, Paddy Power. Lots to get through, gents, so let's jump straight into the action. No Friday night Premier League games this week, so it's Saturday. And we start with 12:30, Leicester taking on Liverpool. This one live on BT Sport One, if you want to tune into it. Carl, welcome back to the show. I hope things are well. Let's start with the odds and your selection for this game. And are Liverpool now out of the title race?
Yeah, I think so, Jack. I think that's what we saw last Sunday. And I think that the time, they've had a week off now, Liverpool. And Klopp obviously had some personal issues as well, but the stress of definitely being champions and not being able to defend the title, you know, that took its toll. City were convincing winners last week. This week, we price it up as Liverpool are 21-20 away from home against Leicester. Leicester 12-5, the draw is 5-2. And usually, looking at this isolated, I would think definitely the value is with Leicester. But I just fancy a Liverpool backlash on the back of last week. Their pride is hurting, you know, and I think we will see that backlash. And they've been good in Leicester in the last three seasons. They've beaten Leicester in their own backyard the last three seasons, so they've won there. And I think Liverpool are just over even money. With that backlash in mind, Jack, is the way I would play this one.
Yeah, Dan, whenever you hear Liverpool, that price, you know, odds against, you're always attracted to them, aren't you? But Leicester sit above them in the table, and if you're going on recent performances, you'd probably be favouring the home side here.
Yeah, and I'm going to go on recent performances. I think Leicester are a decent price to win the game. I think that they got out of that FA Cup game, you know, what they wanted. They didn't play great against Brighton, but he made a lot of changes. Brendan Rodgers, he did start Vardy, but got his sort of hour out of him, which looked like it was the plan. And then in Africa goes and gets the winner for them late on. So they go through to the quarterfinals, and he kind of gets a bit of rest into the players he needed to. James Maddison didn't start the game. He just come on a sub. And they're just going really well in all competitions, Europa League as well. Liverpool have been, not great for a while now, have they? Two league wins in nine games. It's not just that Manchester City game that maybe the 4-1 was a little bit of a harsh scoreline. Alisson's mistakes contributed to that, but there's just a general lack of confidence, I feel, with Liverpool and key players still missing. They've also got that Champions League, the start of that Champions League tie against Leipzig to consider as well next midweek. So maybe Klopp won't want to be taking too many chances with players that that might be struggling for fitness for that one. So maybe the focus now will be more towards that than winning the Premier League. Leicester for me.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be getting on to the Champions League fixtures later on in the show, so stay with us for that. Jack, in terms of Liverpool, I know we've talked a lot about them in recent weeks, and we've probably gone over every subject possible, but are we getting a little bit carried away? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they thumped 7 past Crystal Palace and it looked like they were kind of a certainty to win the league. And, a month or so down the line and we're acting like they're in a relegation scrap. Or are they, are they as bad as we're making out?
I don't think they're as bad as we're making out. In our industry, we do kind of jump to conclusions quite easily, don't we? Obviously, they've got well-documented injury issues. They'll come back. I think it's just a case of they've been brilliant for 3.5 seasons and you can have a bit of an off period. They'll come back towards the end of the season. I actually fancy them to get a draw here, mainly because although I really like Leicester and they're going well, they just seem to let you down when you think they're really going to kick on. Liverpool have got quality all over the field, although maybe not in the natural positions, but I think there's enough there for Liverpool to get a point.
Okay, big few weeks for Liverpool with both Premier League and Champions League action. Let's take a look at the 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Crystal Palace welcome Burnley to Selhurst Park. Carl, we talk about sort of one-man teams, and I know that most teams are reliant more so on one player, but Palace really do struggle when Wilfried Zaha isn't playing, don't they?
Yeah, they definitely do. And I read a stat there during the week that Palace have lost 18 of their last 23 league games without Zaha in the starting 11. And actually, I was embarrassed for the other players in the Palace lineup when I read that. But he is huge for them, Jack. And I think he intimidates the opposition as well. And teams are more confident or boosted when he's not on the team sheet as well. Just in terms of this match, Palace are 13-10, Jack. 9-4 we are about Burnley. The draw there is 2-1. Now, Burnley have lost 3 of their last 4, but 2 of those games were against Chelsea and Man City. Burnley aren't really expected to win those games. Sean Dyche got a chance to rest a couple of bodies in midweek in that cup game that they lost to Bournemouth. But it's a big few weeks for Burnley, because after Palace, they face Fulham and West Brom. That's 2 massive relegation cup finals for them. But I just like the double chance market here. Burnley and the draw 8-15 is what caught my eye about this one. I think Burnley are more than capable of going here and getting something, certainly with the way Leeds outplayed Palace in midweek.
Yeah, Dan, as Carl mentions there, Burnley, you know, they're 17th in the division. I heard an interview with Sean Dyche on national radio in the week. He sounded very optimistic, very calm and relaxed about his team's chances in terms of survival this season. They should be okay, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're 17th, but they're 8 points from the drop zone. I mean, they're also 8 points away from Arsenal, who are in mid-table. So it's a little bit of a lopsided table there at the moment. The teams at the bottom three are quite cut adrift, and I'm not so sure that they're as much at risk as maybe even Sean Dyche thinks they are. I think it was a bit sad that they made so many changes for that game against cup game against Bournemouth, which is a great chance to get into the FA Cup quarterfinals, and they paid the price for it. But he is still thinking about the possible threat of relegation. And he's kept his key men fresh, and I think that will actually help him win this game. Burnley draw no bet is what I would go with at odds against. I think Crystal Palace with Zaha, I wonder if it's almost becoming a mental issue as well as genuinely missing his qualities that we know he's got. The Palace players, I think, will be aware of the stats as well, and the manager Roy Hodgson, about how poor they've been without him. And I just think that maybe that's going to play on their minds a little bit here. Burnley, as has been mentioned, they've had a couple of poor results against very big teams recently. The 2-0 defeat at Chelsea, when they didn't really cause them any problems. But not that long ago, when they've actually gone to Liverpool and won 1-0, I think they're perfectly capable of winning at Palace without Zaha.
Interesting. 2 votes for Burnley. Jack, any love for Palace?
Not really, no. I've covered Palace a few times in recent weeks, and they're a good team, just not playing any good football. Obviously, I think with Zaha out, Brett Chiesa can come into it. I've been really impressed by what I've seen from him this season. I think almost in a weird way, him and Zaha getting each other's way. I do think this could be the candidate for the last game of Match of the Day, though. Under 2.5 goals will be my pick. That's landed in 7 of the last 8 meetings, and I don't think you'd be far off. And yeah, it's strange, isn't it, Burnley? I think they're a decent team. I was surprised by Sean Dyche making so many changes for that cup defeat. I don't think he'll mind going out. I think Burnley, yeah, if there's going to be a winner, it's going to be Burnley, but I think under 2.5 goals will be closer.
Great stuff. Up next, let's take a look at Manchester City taking on Tottenham Hotspur. This is Saturday at 5:30 p.m. Not many goals expected in the previous game we've mentioned. Are we expecting goals here, Carl?
I think so. I think Manchester City, we actually in Paddy Power paid out last Friday on City, and they went off evens at Anfield. And if you think about it, Jack, like away to Liverpool, probably the hardest fixture this year, they went off evens. They'll go off odds on. Really short for the rest of the season as well. And I think we will see goals here. I'd be interesting to hear your thoughts about Spurs at the moment and Jose, because Spurs were good in the first half last night, still went out and lost, though. I don't know what's going on there behind the scenes. Obviously, is it the beginning of the end for Jose? But City, obviously, absolutely flying. They were unbelievable. I mean, Foden and Gundogan last week at Anfield. I don't even know what to say, how good they were. But they'll march to the title now, and deservedly so. And I think the brush aside Spurs, I was trying to look for value in this set, Jack, as well. And City half-time, full-time at 5-6. I just think the game comes at the wrong time for Spurs. City absolutely flying, and it'll have taken a lot out of Spurs that match last night against Everton as well, of course, with extra time, and there were shambles at the back as well, some of the goals. But anyway, yeah, to answer your question, City will score goals. City half-time, full-time, 5-6.
Yeah, I was tired just watching it, so goodness knows what they felt like playing in it. Dan, Spurs, going through a tough time. I see Gareth Bale wasn't even included in the matchday squad in their cup game against Everton.
Yeah, I think Gareth Bale, when he has had his chances, he's just not really, shown the... I don't know if it's the hunger or just whether he's struggling to get, that reach those heights that of his first spell at Spurs. He just doesn't seem, to have that same strength and pace. And I don't know, there's definitely something missing there. I can understand why Jose's, been reluctant to play him. I think it's been more of a strange one with Dele Alli, but who he now seems to be trying to reintegrate into the team. I think Dele Alli could make a on the game. I actually thought Spurs were a bit overpriced before watching the match last night, and then when it goes to extra time and the problems that Spurs had at the back and that and Ndombele going off, there was talk about maybe that he had an injury, because he's become such a big player for Spurs in the midfield. I think there's too many question marks now over Spurs, so I'm going to go with Man City to win and both teams to score. I think Spurs' attacking threat will be there with Harry Kane now back from injury and linking up with Son again. I mean, they had 29 shots in that game against Everton. So, there has been a transformation fairly quickly in being stodgy, dour Spurs to suddenly looking a real threat going forward. We must forget that. But at the back, you would really worry, wouldn't you, against Man City, the run that they're on. They've just been absolutely fantastic. They're not even missing Kevin De Bruyne, who's been, and Aguero have not been available for a period of time now. Phil Foden's been absolutely superb. Gundogan as well. Their contributions, I think, have helped them get by without De Bruyne. And I just think they'll be too strong for Spurs.
Yeah, Jack, I think that's the thing we often forget, isn't it? Manchester City, without De Bruyne, Aguero's hardly played this season. Two of arguably the Premier League's best players, and they just still look magical.
Oh, yeah, they were wonderful, weren't they, against Liverpool? Good last night as well, when they made so many changes. I think it's Pep Guardiola, quite a few people criticised him for not sending out Phil Foden out on loan to get some game time. But obviously, his method is now proving to be right, isn't it? He's been absolutely brilliant. Foden, for me, he's got to be a starter for England in the Euros. I think City will again dominate this game. Although Spurs were the last side to beat them, I think we've got to keep that maybe under consideration. I think they'll get a goal as well. Son and Kane's combination is brilliant. Son's also scored 6 times against City in his career. But Foden, Gundogan, who I didn't know if he had a future really at Manchester City, is now a huge player in De Bruyne's absence. And they just look so, so good and nailed on for the title for me.
Yeah, it should be an exciting game, that one. I think they're going to take some catching, aren't they, Manchester City? The late game on Saturday, Brighton against Aston Villa. Carlo, show the prices and your tip for this.
Yeah, Brighton 7-4. Jack, Aston Villa are 6-4. And the draw is 23-10. Of course, Villa have just been very impressive this year. We've spoken about them for the last month on this podcast. They've been brilliant to watch. They've been very impressive on their travels in particular as well. They won at Arsenal. They got a draw at Stamford Bridge against Chelsea. Won at Wolves. Tough place to go. Won at the Saints. And we know what happened when they should have beaten Man United or got something from the game at Old Trafford. And they were very good in their loss to Manchester City at the Etihad as well. 6 of their last 10 on the road. They are unbeaten, and Villa to win at 6-4 is where I would go. And as impressive as Brighton have been of late, I just think Aston Villa are just I wouldn't back against them.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, Brighton's recent form is strong, isn't it? Wins against Spurs and Liverpool, draws against Fulham and Burnley. They've certainly turned things around.
Yeah, I mean, they looked like a side that were playing better than their points total, didn't they, Brighton, for a while, and now they've started to get those wins now. I'm actually with Carl on this, though. I think Villa are the bet here at 6-4. I just feel that the recent wins that Brighton have had against big clubs, Spurs and Liverpool, I just thought, although they were really good performances, they were playing both teams at a very, very good time. Liverpool have had terrible injury problems. Spurs were in a rut, really, at the time when they went to Brighton. And I think, you know, the 1-1 draw that Brighton had at Burnley, you know, last weekend was probably more reflective of where they're at right now. I think that's kind of their level. Villa, I mean, they're 10 points higher in the table. Played two games less than Brighton as well. Got a lot more up going forward for me with Ollie Watkins and Jack Grealish. Home advantage is just not worth a lot, you know, this season as well. You've got, you know, that's got to be factored in as well. So Villa, for me, it's 6-4.
Jack, you look at Villa's recent form, though. I mean, really impressive wins against Arsenal, Southampton and Newcastle, but thrown in there in the last five games, defeats to Burnley and a decent beating by West Ham as well. So they've been slightly hot and cold, the away side here.
They have been slightly hot and cold. I thought they were very good, though, against Arsenal last time out. And Dan mentioned the lack of home advantage, I suppose, this season. I think that's especially prevalent with Brighton. One win in 15 after that victory against Spurs at the Amex. Yes, I don't think they're the finished article by any means, but I think Dean Smith deserves plenty of praise the way he's built that side. And I think Brighton are the kind of the team that they'll want to play against as well. They struggle at home, don't they, as we've mentioned. I can't see Brighton scoring more than one goal. I can see maybe Villa getting two, though. Ollie Watkins, 10 for the season, winner against Arsenal. I think Villa's pace on the counter-attack against a possession-based side like Brighton, who lack that bit of extra penetration, will see them through.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Ollie Watkins this season. He's been brilliant, hasn't he? Double figures in the Premier League already. That's very good going. Let's move on to Sunday's games then. Four games on Sunday, much like Saturday. We kick things off with Southampton against Wolves. Amazon Prime is the destination if you're wanting to watch this one. Carl, which way is this going?
Ooh, I'm really not sure, Jack. This is the one that I was. This was the head scratcher now when I was doing the homework. So Southampton are 29-20, Wolves 19-10, the draw 21-10. Southampton, as we know, were going really well until the Danny Ings future speculation story came out. There's been a collective dip there in performance. I'm not sure what's gone on behind the scenes, but they're on a bit of a losing streak. Lost their last four, so I really don't see a win coming anytime soon for the Saints as well. And at the same time, in the same breath, Wolves have been a little bit up and down for me and a little bit off as well. So this is one I'd probably stay away from, Jack, if I was to be really honest. But the 21-10, the draw, if I was to put it into my ACCA, is where I would go.
Yeah, very wise. If you don't fancy anything, don't feel inclined to have a bet. We always say on the podcast, please do gamble responsibly. Dan, as Carl said, difficult to separate these two sides. Have you got any, I don't know, goal score angles or match goals?
No, I just fancy Wolves, actually, on the outright to win the game. I mean, the first thing to mention as well is that they're actually playing each other at Wolves in an FA Cup fifth round tie as well on the Thursday, just 3 days before. So they're going to certainly know a lot about each other. But, you know, by the time they're playing in the Premier League at the weekend. But I think having the fixtures close together, it may be, you know, maybe affect Southampton a bit more. They've had a lot of injuries lately in the squad. And if you remember when they played Arsenal, didn't they, twice in close succession, they played well in the cup game and then, you know, were really struggled, didn't they, in the league game a few days later where Arsenal defeated them. And I think a similar sort of scenario could happen here. I just feel that confidence, you know, it's still going to be an issue for Southampton after that 9-0 at Manchester United. Arguably, a worse result was the one after that, the 3-2 at Newcastle, because it's a game they would have expected to get points in, and they've lost the game against the Newcastle side in the end that were playing with nine men, weren't they, for quite a period at the end of that game. So that was a blow for them. I think Wolves are kind of just edging their way back a little bit now. I've got that 2-1 win over Arsenal, who are also reduced to nine men. Good 0-0 against Leicester. Balance is better now with Willian Jose up top. That gives them a bit more of a better structure to their attack. So, Wolves for me.
Yeah, it hasn't been a vintage season so far for Wolves. We've become so used to over the past couple of seasons watching them play beautiful football, haven't we? But, you know, injuries and the like have hindered them this season. Jack, do you fancy the away side here?
Yeah, in the match betting, definitely. I also fancy under 2.5 goals. I was surprised, actually, doing my research, that there's been 9 goals in the last two games between these two at St Mary's. But Southampton's lacking so much confidence. Last four games, lost in the league, lost all four, an aggregate of 16-3, which can't be doing anyone any good, can it? I like what Dan says about Willie and Jose, giving them Wolves a bit more balance going forward. They needed a focal point up front. I think we appreciate that Fabio Silva could be a bit of a world beater when he's older, but he's not quite there at the moment, and they needed to get someone in. Jose just gives them somebody to aim at, and I think on a pretty scrappy, tight, not very attractive game, I think that Wolves could just edge it.
You haven't really sold that for Amazon, have you, Jack?
Sorry. It's going to be the best game of the weekend. Well, the best 12 o'clock kickoff on Sunday.
Good stuff, Matt. Okay, let's hope this game coming up slightly more exciting. West Brom against Manchester United. Carl, one of these games where it's probably a difficult one to find value in the match market. But where are we going?
Absolutely, Jack. Difficult is the magic word there. But I've had a look and we've had to go digging. But West Brom are 15-2, Man United 3-10, 9-2. We are about the draw. Fernandes, McTominay and Cavani all got partially arrested during the week in the FA Cup tie against West Ham. And they were summoned from the bench as well. And there was immediate improvement when United sent for the cavalry there. So those three I expect to start. Everything points to an away win here. Just the baggies, they're leaking goals. Conceded 19 in their last five at home. Big Sam hasn't really hit the ground running at all with them either. But they defended okay last week against Spurs. It went in 0-0 at the break, but it was last minute stuff in the first half. Just bodies behind the ball. You knew Spurs were going to come out in the second half and break them down. And there might be a little bit of this. And stay away from Man United half time, full time in this, because West Brom could defend well in the first half, and United are notorious sleepy starters in the first half of matches as well. But when it broke down to it, United to win the game over 2.5 goals, Jack, and then I've thrown Cavani in any time. He obviously scored against Southampton, and he got a little bit of a jog during the week, but he'll be nice and fresh for it as well. So I fancy him anytime. It works out around 13-8, United to win over 2.5 goals, and Cavani anytime.
Brilliant. A little bet builder for this one from Carl. Nice work. Dan, West Brom have conceded 54 goals so far this season. That's not good, is it?
No, it's dreadful. I'm uneasy looking at the price of Manchester United away from home. But despite saying that, you can't really see anything other than an away win here. I mean, as has been mentioned, Manchester United did, you know, get to rest a few key players, you know, in the week. You can imagine the likes of Cavani, Bruno Fernandes, Luke Shaw, McTominay as well, probably all going to come back into the starting lineup. So a little bit like Leicester, they got what they wanted, got through to the next round and rested the players that they wanted to. I think West Brom, you can probably make a good case for them now being the worst team in the league, even though they're not at the bottom of the table. Goal difference minus 36. I mean, that's 14 worse than Sheffield United. There isn't really any sign of any improvement. They have had the odd, you know, good result against big teams, a draw against Chelsea, drawn away to Liverpool and Manchester City, incredibly. But they look a poor side. Value for me is Cavani, first goal at 7-2. He's starting to show his class, you know, in recent weeks. I think that's a decent bet.
Yeah, two mentions for Cavani so far, Jack. He's been an inspired bit of business for United, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been brilliant, hasn't he? It's strange, I suppose, the coverage of... It's like he's reinvented centre-forward player now. They all move, but he's just so... His movement is so good. And it's nice, I think, for Marcus Rashford, who's enjoying playing off the left, to have someone to dovetail with. I don't think Anthony Martial gives them that focal point to really build the playoff. I'm glad you gave me that question, because I thought I was going to continue live up to my stereotype as a negative Yorkshireman and back against West Brom. The leaking goals, I would say an away win over 2.5 goals, just because I can't see West Brom scoring really. Manchester United, I don't think they're by any means the finished article, but I think with Cavani up front, it makes a real difference. I don't really perceive any issues for them on Sunday.
Dan, just a quick one on Big Sam. Does he keep the job past the end of this season?
No. I don't see him as the man to lead them out of the Championship, which is where they're going to be.
Okay, there we go. Sorry, West Brom fans. That's ugly hearing for you. Arsenal versus Leeds next up, 4:30 on Sky Sports. Carl, Leeds have been brilliant. We've spoken about them a lot this season. Patrick Bamford, he's reached double figures for the season, which is very good going for a newly promoted side. They're going to be a real test for Arsenal here.
Yeah, definitely. And they've been enjoyable to watch. They've won three of their last four leads. And like you said, Bamford, Rafinha, Harrison, all catching the eye, all playing with confidence. And Bamford's goal return, like you say, very impressive. He has 12 goals so far for the season. And don't forget Jack Harrison, he has six as well, three in his last four. I think lead scoring, just from where you started with there, lead scoring, it's an easy argument to make. They've got they've banged in eight in their last four. I think they've been really impressive to watch as well. They were peppering the goal in their last four matches as well. So I think Leeds scoring is the first place to start in this match as well. However, I do fancy Arsenal just on the fact that Leeds' record against those big clubs so far this season, it just hasn't been that great. They've lost to Liverpool, Spurs, Man United and Chelsea so far this season. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang likely to come back in and start here for Arsenal. David Luiz back in at centre-half following a suspension. Arsenal, four clean sheets in their last five in the Premier League as well. And they go well at home. So Arsenal to win and both teams to score is my angle here at 11-5. But definitely fancy Leeds to get one in this match.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, Leeds and Arsenal have already played each other twice this season, haven't they? Because they've obviously had the Premier League clash and also an FA Cup game in there, and surprisingly one was 0-0 and the other was edged by Arsenal 1-0, so they've been relatively low scoring affairs so far this season. Does it remain that way in this game?
I don't think so. No, I mean that game at Elland Road, the 0-0, was probably one of the best 0-0s I've ever seen. I mean, it was, you know, it was lots of chances, particularly for Leeds, who absolutely dominated that game even when it was 11-11. And I actually think Leeds are a really big price here. You know, I mean, Arsenal odds on, aren't they? I mean, Leeds, you know, around the 10-3 mark. I think that's a great bet. And I'll just refer as well, just looking at, you know, to this home and away form in the Premier League. We're a long way into the season now, and there's been 90 away wins and 83 home wins. And you're getting Arsenal priced up at odds on here, you know, to win, you know, a home game against Leeds, and you have to question whether there's much home advantage. Leeds are actually just slightly above Arsenal in the table now on a good run, three wins in their last four games, and like the home and away form in the league, that translates to Leeds as well. Six of their 10 Premier League wins have been away from home. Arsenal have improved their performances, you know, in the last couple of months, but they have had a couple of, you know, the defeat at Wolves was heavily influenced by the red cards, but they weren't so good at Aston Villa, where they lost 1-0. Villa won the shot on target count 8-3, so you can't really complain about that result. So no, Leeds for me look a bit overpriced.
Yeah, I mean, Leeds have been brilliant, haven't they, Jack? And as Carl mentioned there, 12 goals for Bamford, 6 for Harrison. It's almost easy to forget that both of them players were playing for them in the Championship last season. So to get that return from, you know, two players who were in a lower division last season is phenomenal.
I think it's incredible how well Leeds have gone. You look at the team, a lot of those were two or three seasons ago mid-table Championship players, and they kept a clean sheet against Palace on Monday with Liam Cooper, who came up through League One, may have even played League Two, Luke Ayling, who definitely played League Two, those two at the back, Pascal Struix, I would say a midfield player playing at centre-half as well. I think it's one, obviously, we get the myth about Marcelo Bielsa, but they deserve so much credit, these players, for how they've all come together and played so well. I think they've got a good chance, actually, on Sunday. Dan mentioned those six wins on the road this season, but I think the Aubameyang return to the starting 11, or the possible return of Aubameyang to start 11 for Arsenal, will make a huge difference. They were poor at Aston Villa. I thought Lacazette, I really like Lacazette, but he just doesn't seem to be quite there. And I think with a bit of extra movement maybe from Aubameyang, he can bring the likes of Bukayo Saka and Emile Smith-Rowe into the game. Nicolas Pepe's even started playing well as well. I think it's a bit of a misnomer, those two games early in the season. I think Arsenal, both teams to score, because I don't see Leeds not scoring, but I think Arsenal might just have a bit too much on home soil.
Yeah, some really good games on Sunday, and that's certainly one of them. 7 o'clock on Sunday, Everton against Fulham. Carl, Everton will surely be looking, you know, upwards rather than downwards. They've got two games in hand on, you know, all but one of the teams above them, and they're only 3 points from the top four. Good work from Everton this season.
Yeah, good work from them. Ancelotti, certainly his influence on the team, certainly showing itself in the last couple of weeks, I would argue as well, because they beat Leeds 2-1 away, and Leeds had the chances to beat them. We saw what happened last weekend when Man United were 2-0 up, and they could have downed tools like many aside who were 2-0 down at Old Trafford. They didn't. They showed a lot of fight. Character, a bit of courage as well. That all comes from Ancelotti, I think. They're getting over the line in matches, Jack, this season that in previous years they just would have lost. And that's just the difference for me with them this season. Fulham have one solitary win in their last 10 away games, drawn a blank in front of goal in their last two league games, and failed to see off or get something from a 10-man Hammers match last weekend. I know it ended scoreless and they got a point, but that was a huge opportunity loss, I felt, for Scott Parker's side to get the win there. So just with the likes of Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin and Rodriguez all back amongst the goals, I would be going for a home win here, Everton, at 17-20.
Where are you playing here, Dan?
I got a feeling that I was keen on Everton, but with a game going to extra time the other night, and Calvert-Lewin as well. He looked like he went off with a slight injury, didn't he? So and there's Hammers hasn't been involved, has he, recently? So you're just wondering about are they going to get anywhere near to a full strength attack? So I'm actually now edging towards. I'm going to go under 2.5 goals, I think, a shade of odds on. I think it's a game that I don't think Ancelotti's. I don't think we're going to see another 9-goal thriller like we saw the other night. I think Ancelotti will be looking to just. Just nick the 3 points in any way possible. Fulham, I think they're probably better defensively now than they are going forward. He has tightened things up for Scott Parker, but the reason they're not winning enough games is the lack of a goal threat. They've not scored in 4 of the last 5 games. I do think that, I don't think they're going to get absolutely run ragged by an Everton team, as I mentioned, potentially missing a couple of their better attacking players. But if I was predicting the result, I'd say a narrow Everton win. But I think under 2.5 goals could be the value way to go.
Do you agree, Jack?
I fancy the draw in this one, actually. Fulham, I've been quite impressed by the work Scott Parker's done, because they're a bit of a shambles at the start of the season. But they bought well towards the end of the September and October window, and they've really tightened up. Unbeaten in 5 on the road as well. Everton, they're kind of turning into entertainers, aren't they? No clean sheet in the league since Boxing Day. They scored 11 in the last 3. So they score a lot of goals, but they also give you a chance. At Fulham, as Dan mentioned, they don't really score enough goals, but I think with Everton's defensive foibles, they'll probably get on the board, and I fancy them to sneak a point at Goodison.
Okay, we'll be going over Monday's games and also a quick look at the Champions League, which returns next week as well. But first, a quick break.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's same game multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the same game multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to part 2 of the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. Myself, Jack Reeve, joined with Dan Childs, Jack Ogilby and Carl Monaghan today. We've gone through Saturday and Sunday's Premier League fixtures. 2 to go through on Monday then. And we start with West Ham taking on Sheffield United. Carl, Sheffield United aren't the laughing stocks that they were maybe a month ago when they only had a point on the board. But you'd probably still fancy the home side here, wouldn't you?
Yeah, they've been brilliant recently, Sheffield United, to be fair. More like the team that we got used to recognising last season. But just a feel-good factor with West Ham at the moment. I thought there was spells of their play that was good in midweek. Moyes got a lot of criticism online in terms of his approach, and that if he had shown a little bit more ambition, maybe they would have got something from the game. And there is a little bit of credit with that. But they're playing well, and who could forget? Of course, Jesse Lingard's unbelievable debut as well when he came in and scored a couple. He's freshened them up. I think Antonio was left out during midweek. I think he might come back in as well. Now, he's missed a couple of chances, but getting into the right positions, Antonio, and the goals will come. Well, West Ham at 4-6. We're 4-1 about Sheffield United. The draw 27-10. But yeah, I am going towards the Hammers. There's 24 hours extra rest than Sheffield United as well. And I think David Moyes has done a very good job of late. And at 4-6, they'd be my pick.
Yeah, Dan, West Ham's strong season reflected in the prices there.
It is. I'm not sure they're a great bet though at those odds. I'm going to go for a draw here at 27-10. Sheffield United, despite their league position, they're actually on a decent run in all competitions. They won six of their last nine games in all competitions, three of those in the Premier League. So the confidence, which was a massive issue earlier in the season, is rising in the camp. And they played okay in that 2-1 defeat to Chelsea as well. You know, get a Chelsea side, you know, that have been revitalised under Thomas Tuchel, and Sheffield United gave them a decent game. I think West Ham as well. That Man United, they made a few changes for the cup game at Manchester United, but some of the other players that he wouldn't have wanted to get injured did get injured. You had Diop and Ogbonna both went off, didn't they, in the first half? So he's got a few issues there, I think, at centre back West Ham. And you know, they played as a tough old match for them. I know they've got a couple of days extra rest going into this, but I don't fancy them at odds on draw for me.
Dan, just a quick one in terms of your kind of how you approach your, you know, weekend or midweek bets. I know you're kind of the Racing Post EFL guru, so there might not be as many bets in the Premier League, but are you usually staking singles or throwing them into accumulators?
I do usually go with singles just for the simple reason that it's so hard, I think, to find value and wrong prices these days, that obviously if you're putting them in an accumulator, you're likely to dilute that value. So singles, yeah, normally.
And what's kind of the cutoff in terms of, you know, a price that you wouldn't back in a single?
I wouldn't say I've got an actual cutoff, because that, you know, if a price is, you know, if a 5-1 shot is available and you think it should only be, you know, a 3-1 shot, then why not back it? But generally with those sorts of ones, that you might look more towards draw no bet, or even, you know, go with a double chance. But I've not got an actual price where I would ignore, because if a price is that good, then why not take it?
Yeah, definitely. No, I thought it was worth noting, because, you know, we cover a lot of games on these podcasts. I think it's sometimes overwhelming. You don't want to be backing every game. So no, good advice there, Jack. In terms of this early fixture on the Monday night, which way are you leaning?
I was going to go West Ham win, but it kind of talked me out of it. I thought they were sluggish against Man United in midweek. Mikel Antonio will give them a boost coming back, but like it's been referenced before, he seems to be getting in the positions, but not putting the ball in the back of the net. This is 1-1 last season. Sheffield United are playing well, and they just feel a bit of a feel-good factor back around the Blades at the moment. West Ham have beaten both Fulham and West Brom on home turf this season, but neither were particularly convincing. And I think the way Sheffield United are playing at the moment, they're a better team than those sides were at those specific moments. And I fancy a draw here.
Okay, one more game to get through in the Premier League this week, and it's the late kickoff on Monday, Chelsea against Newcastle. Carl, Chelsea fans will be delighted with the progress made under Thomas Tuchel, won't they?
Yeah, they are. They will be, and they're a lot more solid looking as well. And they seem to be improving in small amounts every week as well. Now, this match is priced up: Chelsea 1-5, Newcastle 10-1, and the draw is 11-2. Now, obviously, Chelsea are very short at 1-5, so we have to get out our magnifying glass and go looking for something. Newcastle have scored 6 in the last 3 games, enjoying a little bit of a return to form as well. Almiron, Wilson, John Joe Shelby, all playing with a bit of confidence and going well. I thought it was interesting that Thiago Silva misses this game. He has a thigh injury, and that for me just weakens Chelsea's rear guard at the back, an opportunity for Newcastle to breach that. I'm not really 100% sure Tuchel has been really tested in the job. Remember, at Spurs away, it was obviously a tough game, but it was a caneless Spurs, which is a huge difference. Atletico Madrid are coming at the end of the month. That for me is the big test for Thomas Tuchel. But I think if we were to look for value here, Chelsea to win and both teams to score, because I just think that there's a bit of spice in Newcastle's attack the last couple of weeks, and I think they might be good for a goal. But I fancy that Chelsea to win and both teams to score is how I'd play it.
Yeah, definitely. Dan, how do we rate Newcastle at the moment? Because they've had, you know, impressive wins over Everton, and that one against Southampton was balmy. You mentioned earlier they finished the game with 9 men in that one, but still managed to get through. Potential banana skin for Chelsea here?
Not in this game. I do think that, you know, I actually think Steve Bruce is doing a decent job there, considering that, you know, the you know, not a massive budget, you know, to work with, and they are, you know, a comfortable amount of points away from the, you know, the relegation scenario. They're fairly comfortable in the table now. But I mean, this game, I just think that they're going to be affected by, you know, missing players. I mean, they've had a few issues at centre back. Lascelles has been out. Fabian Scher and Isaac Hayden, who's a holding midfield player, played in defence against Southampton, and Scher's now got injured, didn't he? That was why they finished the game with nine men. So you're wondering who's going to play, you know, centre back against a Chelsea side with, you know, a hell of a lot, you know, of options, good quality options going forward. That will worry me. They're offering more of a threat going forward. But I just think that Chelsea are going to be too strong and will expose that defence early on, which feeds into my tip, which is Chelsea-Chelsea half-time, full-time at a shade of odds on. I think that would be a solid bet.
Okay, lots of love for Chelsea. Jack, you the same?
Yeah, Chelsea, but both teams to score as well. I echoing what Carl said, really, I quite like the way that Newcastle's attack is starting to shape up. Callum Wilson's movement, I think, will drag around a defence that's lacking Thiago Silva, who's made a huge difference. Just organises a bit of a rabble, I think, at the back sometimes. For the Blues, I think the Magpies will get a goal, but I've been quite impressed by the way that Thomas Tuchel's built from the back with Chelsea. We all know how much attacking prowess and quality they've got going forward. I think they'll expose a Newcastle defence lacking numbers, but I still fancy the Magpies to give them a bit of trouble.
Great stuff. Well, that's the 10 Premier League games covered, and I know we're in lockdown at the moment, but you're certainly not going to be bored over the next week, because there's the Champions League returning. That's back on Tuesday. You've also got a full EFL schedule to get through on Tuesday and Wednesday as well. So plenty of action. We're not going to go through the Champions League games individually. Just to give you a heads up, that the Tuesday, you've got Barcelona against PSG and RB Leipzig taking on Liverpool. And then on the Wednesday, Porto, Juventus and Sevilla, Borussia Dortmund. Carl, if you've got a pick for all of these games, then feel free to reel them off. But any fancies for these?
Yeah, well, I fancy Barcelona to be Paris Saint-Germain. Barcelona are 11-10. Of course, Pochettino's gone in there. He doesn't really know his best 11 yet. And so he's only in the job a short time, Jack, so I wouldn't hold it against him. But Neymar had a groin injury last night as well. Neymar has, I think he's missed the last 16 for them in the last couple of seasons, certainly against United and last year as well. He's a dreadful record at this time of the year for picking up an injury, but I don't know whether he'll play in this match as well. And Barca looked lively last weekend. For me in particular, Messi looked lively. They won at Real Betis. They're beaten last night, but they made a couple of changes. They're beaten in Sevilla, but going to Sevilla, a very tough place to go. I think Barca to beat PSG on Tuesday night at 11-10. That's my Champions League bet for the week.
In true Dan Childs fashion, I'm sure you've been looking through sort of Bradford Morecambe rather than Barcelona PSG, Dan. But any hard-earned cash going down on the Champions League this week?
Yeah, I've got a fairly strong fancy for the Sevilla and Borussia Dortmund tie. I think Sevilla to qualify from that tie at 5-4 is a really good bet. I think I've been impressed with, we're quite impressed with Sevilla in the group stage. You know, you gave Chelsea, you know, a decent run for their money. They're fourth in La Liga at the moment. They've got a striker in form, Yassin En-Nesyri, who's got 13 goals in La Liga. Also, I think he got quite a few. I think he got 4 goals in the Champions League group stage. Ivan Rakitic has added that extra dash of quality and class in the midfield. And I think I've got, as well as liking the way they're playing, they also beat, I just mentioned, they beat Barcelona 2-0 as well in last night in the first leg of the Copa del Rey semi-final. So Sevilla going well. Dortmund have got a few issues, I think. You know, they've lost 3 of the last 4 games in the Bundesliga, seen a lot of goals. Issues, I think, with injuries. Roman Bürki, the goalkeeper, and a holding midfielder, Axel Witsel, who's an, you know, experienced, influential player from there, both injured. So I think that may, you know, explain why they're conceding so many goals. So Sevilla should qualify for that.
Strong fancy from Dan. Great stuff. Jack, what about you? Any love for the Champions League?
Yeah, well, Sevilla to win that game would be mine. No Lucas Ocampos, but Papu Gomez has come in and played quite well. I'd also actually go for Juventus to win 2-0 at Porto. They seem to be going back to the days of Max Allegri, where they're building from the back. And it seems that Giorgio Chiellini's back, and he's brought back the celebration of when you block a shot going towards the goal, you jump up and high-five the goalkeeper. I think that's a refreshing change from the start of the season, where they're a bit everywhere under Andrea Pirlo. They won 2-0 at Porto at this stage in 2017, and I think it'll be a similar story.
Great stuff. Well, that's the Champions League. And of course, as I mentioned, we've got a full slate of EFL action in the week as well. And that's hotting up at both ends of the tables in the Championship, League One and League Two. And of course, you can gallivant into Europe if you so like, Carl. Take us away with your other fancies.
Yeah, well, my other fancy that I picked out yesterday was Cardiff at Evens. They're at home to Coventry in the Championship this weekend. I woke up this morning, and to my shock, it was now 19-20, Jack. So I literally snoozed on that one. And big McCarthy's gone in there, and I wasn't really sure how it was going to go after how Cyprus, his trip out to Cyprus went. But in the four games so far, unbeaten. And Ojo scored a nice goal against Rotherham during the week. They hit Rotherham on the break with a lot of pace as well. There was lots to like about it. Coventry won win in their last six as well, so I just thought I'd give Big Mick a shout out this week and put in his Cardiff as my Championship selection.
I can't believe you ever doubted Mick McCarthy.
he's very, very popular here, but we won't mention the incident. But I'm over it now. And listen, I think he did a good job with Ireland, with the players that he had actually before Stephen Kenny came in as well. So I'm glad to see that he's got off to a good start in Wales at Cardiff.
Yeah. The fact that he got that Ipswich side in 2015 to the playoffs was remarkable considering the squad he had there. Anyway, enough about Mick McCarthy. Dan, any fancies?
Yeah, down in League Two, I like the look of Cheltenham to win away to Walsall. I mean, to Cheltenham, up to third in the league. They've responded really well since that Manchester City cup tie where they were excellent, almost pulled off an incredible shot. They'd actually been poor in the league going into that game, but since then they've picked up 7 points in three games to leave them. They're just 4 points behind leaders Cambridge, and they've got two games in hand, so they're really well placed. Away to Walsall, in the middle of the table, kind of a draw specialist they've been this year in League Two. Their chances of getting into them playoffs have probably been reduced now, because on deadline day, they sold a key defender, Zach Jules, to MK Dons, and their top scorer, Elijah Adebayo, was sold to Luton. So that's probably going to affect them for the rest of the season. So Cheltenham to win at the best.
And Jack, what about you?
Italy, for me, Genoa to win at Torino. For the fourth time, Genoa have bought David Ballardini to save them from relegation. They brought him back, and he's lost just once. It's coming in December. They take on a Torino side coached by Davide Nicola, who in fact saved Genoa once upon a time as well. He's seen as a safe pair of hands, which is a phrase we don't tend to use so often in the Premier League these days. But I quite fancy Genoa. Torino have got a lot of goals in them, but they concede a lot as well. And Genoa, for me, to give real value.
Brilliant. Time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, time for the naps. If the panel were to have just one bet this week, what would it be? We'll put all of them together into a treble and enhance it on the Paddy Power website. So head over there if you like the sound of what you're about to hear. Carl, we'll start with you.
I'm going to start with the Toffees, Jack, in their match against Fulham, 17-20. Now, after listening to Dan on this podcast, I'm quaking in my boots ever so slightly, but I'm going to stick to my guns. One win in 10 away games for Fulham, one defeat in their last eight for the Toffees. I thought they showed loads of character in their comeback against Manchester United last week, and the Ancelotti factor really is showing its true value. And Everton, for me, my nap, 17-20 against Fulham.
Everton go into the treble. Dan, add a second.
I'm going to stick in League Two. Forest Green, second in League Two, playing at home to Barrow, are in quite a bit of relegation trouble at the moment. Forest Green, only a shade of odds on, which to me looks a really good price to win at home. They're up to second after winning 2-1 at Carlisle last weekend, which was a fantastic result against Carlisle, who've been going really, really well. Puts them, firmly in that top three. They've got 7 points from the last three games. Barrow at the other end of the table, battling relegation under Michael Jolly, who's come to the club, a couple of months ago. They've lost their last two games. They've also lost five of their last six on their travels
and it's only goal difference at the moment, keeping them above Southend and out of the bottom two. So another defeat for them here, I think, for Forest Green.
Forest Green going the treble. Jack, finish the treble.
Yeah, Aston Villa to win at Brighton. For me, they're the right side of evens. Ollie Watkins, we mentioned, 10 Premier League goals so far this season, and Brighton just don't score enough, and Villa score a lot.
Cool. That is Everton, Forest Green, and Aston Villa. That's the enhanced treble this week. That will be on the Paddy Power website later today. Head over there if you like the sound of it. A big thanks to Dan, Jack, and Carl for all of their insight this week. As we always say, please do gamble responsibly. Although we've given you selections for each and every Premier League game, don't feel like you have to have a bet in each of them. Just pick out your favourite ones and go with that. Always stake within your means. We'll be back next week for another episode. But until then, stay safe and stay well. Bye-bye.